Good morning and welcome to Market Minutes. I'm Nandita Khemka. It's Monday, the 10th of November. Let's take a look at the cues that will shape the trading day today. Indian equity market wrapped up last week on a cautious note, recording their biggest weekly fall in over a month and clocking a second straight week of losses. But there was some relief on Friday, with the Nifty managing to defend the crucial 25,300 to 25,350 support zone and trimming intraday losses significantly. Both the Sensex and Nifty fell about 1% for the week, while the Nifty Midcap and the Nifty Bank indices managed to hold steady. Out of the 50 Nifty stocks, 38 ended in the red, with Hindalco, Grasim and Power Grid leading the losses last week. On the other hand, Shriram Finance, Mahindra & Mahindra, Asian Paints and HDFC Life emerged as top gainers. Sectorally, PSU banks were the best performers, while the broader PSU index was the biggest laggard of the week. On Friday, the market staged a smart intraday recovery, with both the Nifty and Sensex ending about 1% higher from the day's low. The broader markets continued to outperform. The mid-cap index jumped nearly 2% from the lows, while financials led the comeback, driving the Nifty Bank index up almost 2%. Market breadth improved significantly, with the NSE advance decline ratio at 1:1 at close. Market sentiment also got a boost from the Finance Ministry and SEBI chairperson's comments on the derivative segment, which helped capital market names. BSE shares surged almost 9%. In terms of fund flows, foreign investors turned net buyers on Friday, purchasing equities worth over 4,500 crore rupees, while domestic institutional investors bought over 6,600 crore rupees, according to provisional data. However, FIIs have still withdrawn a net 12,569 crore rupees from Indian equities so far in November, amid weak global cues and a risk-off sentiment. Going forward, experts say that if Nifty holds above 25,300, we could see a gradual move towards 25,650 to 25,800 and possibly 26,000 in the near term. But a decisive break below 25,300 could drag the index back towards 25,000. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs has upgraded India to overweight, reversing its October downgrade. The brokerage now sees the Nifty at 29,000 by 2026 end, citing supportive monetary and fiscal policies as key growth drivers. Let's take a quick check on global markets. Asian markets are kicking off the week on a strong wicket. Both the Nikkei and Kospi are clocking solid gains, even as the GIFT Nifty signals a muted start for the Indian markets. Meanwhile, US futures are edging higher as lawmakers in Washington are on the verge of sealing a deal to end the historic US government shutdown. S&P 500 futures gained nearly 0.5%, Nasdaq futures were up 0.6%, and Dow futures are also up in triple digits. Investors continue to keep a close eye on negotiations over the federal funding bill that could reopen the government and reverse recent mass layoffs. Reports suggest that enough Democratic senators have agreed to support the deal for it to clear the 60-vote mark in the Senate, with a possible vote expected as early as Sunday evening. Once passed, it would need approval from the House and President's signature before the shutdown, now in its 39th day, officially ends. The deal under discussion is also expected to include future protections for federal workers. Meanwhile, the prolonged shutdown has started taking a toll on consumer sentiment, which has now dropped to its lowest level in over 3 years, just above record lows, according to University of Michigan survey released on Friday. The data blackout caused by the closure has also delayed several key economic releases, including the Consumer Price Index and the Producer Price Index scheduled for last week. On Wall Street, the week gone by was a rough one. Concerns over high valuations in AI-linked stocks triggered profit-taking, with the Nasdaq Composite posting its worst week since April, down 3% for the week. The S&P 500 slipped 1.6% and the Dow lost 1.2%. Investors are now eyeing a handful of key earnings, including Walt Disney's quarterly results due on Thursday. In the bond market, US Treasury yields were little changed on Friday as the data blackout kept traders on edge. The 10-year yield was flat at 4.09%. The US dollar ended the week largely unchanged as investors weighed the US Fed's hawkish stance against concerns about economic softness. In commodities, crude oil prices rose modestly on Friday, but still logged their second straight weekly loss, dragged by concerns over supply glut and weaker US demand. Gold, meanwhile, edged higher as a softer dollar and continued uncertainty around the shutdown boosted safe haven buying. Let's move on to the key stocks that could be in focus today. Bajaj Auto delivered a steady set of numbers for the September quarter. The company's net profit rose 23.6% year-on-year, largely in line with estimates, while revenue grew 13.7%, a slight beat. Operating margins held firm at 20.4% in line with estimates. Retail major Trent also reported a healthy second quarter. Net profit was up 11%, with revenue rising nearly 16%. Operating performance was strong, with EBITDA up 26.5%. Margins came in higher at 17% from 15.5% last year. It was an upbeat quarter for Nykaa as well. The beauty and lifestyle retailer saw its net profit surge over threefold to 34.4 crore rupees. Revenue jumped 25%, while EBITDA grew 53%. Margins also improved to 6.7% versus 5.5% a year ago. Also, watch out for Swiggy, as its board has approved a fundraise of up to 10,000 crore rupees through a QIP, a move aimed at strengthening its balance sheet. Meanwhile, Hindustan Aeronautics signed an agreement with General Electric for the supply of 113 F-404 engines along with a support package for the light combat aircraft MK-1A program, a big boost for India's defense manufacturing ambitions. Kalyan Jewellers sparkled in the September quarter, with profits nearly doubling to 260 crore rupees from 130 crore rupees a year ago. Revenue grew 37%, while EBITDA surged 56%. Margins expanded to 6.3% from 5.3%, reflecting strong festive demand and network expansion. JSW Cement turned profitable this quarter, reporting a net profit of 86 crore rupees compared to a loss of 64 crore rupees last year. Revenue rose 17%, while EBITDA more than doubled. Margins improved sharply to 18.6% from just over 10%, led by operational efficiency gains. It was also a strong quarter for Force Motors. Net profit jumped to 350 crore rupees from 135 crore rupees last year. Revenue rose 7%, while EBITDA increased 28%. Margins also improved to 17.4% from 14.5% a year ago. On the flip side, Shipping Corporation of India reported a weak set of numbers. The company's net profit fell 35%, while revenue declined nearly 8%. It also saw its margins contract to 30.3% from 36.7%. Nalco, however, delivered a strong performance. Net profit jumped 37% year-on-year, while revenue grew 31%. EBITDA was up 25%, with operating margins improving to a healthy 45% from 38.7%. And in key earnings to watch out for, Bajaj Finance, ONGC, Vodafone Idea and KPIT Tech will be in focus. And finally, all eyes will be on Lenskart Solutions, which makes its much-awaited stock market debut today. The 7,278 crore rupee IPO, one of the largest consumer IPOs of the year, saw overwhelming demand with bids worth over 1 lakh crore rupees. The issue was subscribed more than 28 times overall, led by strong institutional participation. While the long-term outlook for Lenskart remains positive, analysts expect limited listing gains in the near term, given the rich valuations and recent cooling off investor sentiment. It's time now for a Voice of the Day segment. Here's Nirav Karkera of Fistum Research with his perspective on capital market stocks after the stellar rally on Friday.
The entire capital market pack has sort of heaved a sigh of relief with these commentaries, right? And the entire pack has been very, very sensitive to developments around the ban of FNO, because, you know, even if you take the case of BSE very specifically, FNO has been the primary driver of earnings for BSE. In fact, you know, the idea was that India as a market, it will forever keep developing. The FNO segment will keep growing further and further. But with this entire regulatory injunction into this development, a lot of sentiments were harrowed, right? So that goes away. In fact, it does not go away permanently. There's just some sort of relief, because, of course, while the finance minister and you know, the regulator said that they are not trying to shut down FNO totally, they are still very much intent on protecting retail investors. So while FNO ban and a blanket ban is not something that will happen, it also, you know, never really made sense because FNO is a very structurally critical component of a well-functioning capital market, right? So FNOs were supposed to be there, but the guardrails were supposed to be upped. And I feel that's exactly what the regulators also stressing upon, that the guardrails are going to be tightened further. Rules and norms are going to be tightened. The awareness is going to be increased. The idea is to nurture a healthy FNO environment and nurture a healthy growth in the FNO segment, wherein it serves the purpose it was designed for, and that is for investing, for sensible trading, for hedging, and not as much for speculation. So that's the shift that the regulator as well as the finance ministry is trying to achieve through their regulations on FNO. I feel these changes will come about, but it will come about gradually. One thing that the markets will have an eye and ear out for is guidance on how does the regulation and the administration intend to implement such guardrails and risk management actions, right? It is almost imperative and important that there's a certain environment of predictability, there's an environment of rationality, and there is execution that happens at a very linear and predictable pace, so as to protect the sentiment from any untoward shocks, right? So I feel the market is also ready. We understand as we mature, as the capital markets mature, this is one of the symptoms of coming of age, that there will be heightened norms and guardrails. So we are all right with that, but the markets would continue to be very sensitive to any shocks that come out of the blue or any strong regulation that comes to be implemented in a very, very short, squeezed amount of time. So cap market stocks will continue to remain sensitive to such events developing.
Before we wrap, relief for Indian industry as China's Commerce Ministry has decided to suspend the new export controls it had announced on October 9th. The restrictions, which were set to take effect from 8th of November, covered rare earth minerals, refining machinery and materials used in lithium processing, all critical inputs for electric vehicles and high-tech manufacturing. These curbs have now been put on hold for a year, offering some much-needed breathing space for industries dependent on these key imports. And finally, Warren Buffett's farewell letter to shareholders will be released later today. In what will be his final message, Buffett is expected to reflect on his philanthropy, legacy and Berkshire Hathaway's journey over the decades. Analysts believe the letter will blend personal reflections with his trademark long-term views on investing and business ethics. That's all we have for you on Market Minutes today. Stay tuned to moneycontrol.com for more news and updates. Have a great trading day and thanks for listening.